Okay, everybody, so today's daf is daf Samach Aleph. We're holding four lines from the bottom of the Amud, where the Gemara begins, the Meshamsha Beirei Chayim. Now, what is this referring to? As you recall, yesterday we spoke about that a nursing mother should avoid eating certain foods, because those foods would not be helpful for the fetus inside. Since we spoke about that, we're going to talk about other related in Yonim, where the Gemara is going to tell us whether it's better or worse.
What's the problem?
Okay. Whether it's better or worse in terms of what the nursing mother or the wife does. So, starting four lines from the bottom, the Gemara says, the Mishamsha Beirechaya. If a husband and wife live together, Tashmish Beirechaya, in a mill, Havulah b'nei nichvi, then chas v'sholom, the chum that will grow out of that union might turn out to be epileptic. They might have epilepsy.
What's a beirechayim?
Beirechayim is a mill where you go and grind tvua or grind other types of ingredients for purposes of cooking and things of that nature. So if a person is mishamish mita in a rechayim, again in a mill, will have epilepsy. If people are mishamish tashmish amita on the ground, on the earth, the child could have a long neck. And Rashi says a child with a long neck is a mum. In other words, it doesn't look nice. The darcha al roma de chamra. Someone, if you have a woman who steps on, roma means soya. So he's excrement, the chamra of a chamor, havala b'nei girdani. So that's our girsa, roma, which means tsoya. There's another girsa on the side, which says that it's not roma, but doma, which would be the dam of a chamor. A lady who steps on the blood of a chamor, havala b'nei girdani. That's what we're going to explain now. What a b'nei girdani? So if you look at Rashi, seven lines from the bottom, girdani, pirish, Adam shenimrat sa'arois roishoy, a person whose hair falls out from his or her head.
A baldy, exactly.
Oy bal gorav. The Torah uses the term gorav oyalefes, which means swells or boils on the skin. It's some sort of skin ailment. So, be careful, don't step into Rama de Chamra, either the excrement of a Chamar or the dam of a Chamar.
This is when, prior to Tashmish.
The Ochla Chardla, yes.
People who are bald, is there a problem with that?
Quite to the contrary, maybe more saying one should step into that so that one should become bald. A person who goes and a woman that eats chardl is mustard. Havle b'nei zalzaloni. Was eis b'nei zalzaloni? Our Taira Balkoire this morning read about the zolel v'sove. A zolel v'sove means a glutton. A person who is eating has a voracious appetite. Rashi says zalzaloni rav sonin, gluttons. So therefore, you step into chardl, the children could become gluttons. The ochle tachli, if she eats tachli, tachli is usually defined as cress. Havala b'nei dulfani. Dulfani, says Rashi, means children whose eyes constantly tear. Tears constantly flowing. The ochle munini, a lady that eats munini, means, says Rashi, small fishalach, dogim ktan. Havala b'nei mitzitze eina. Then she'll have children whose eyes go back and forth, flutter back and forth all the time. The ochla gargushta, if she eats a type of earth, havla b'nei mechuari, then she has ugly children. The shas yeshichra, if she drinks beer, havla b'nei uchmi, then the children are dark-skinned. The ochla bisra, the shas yechamra, on the other hand, if you eat meat and you drink wine, then the children we have to show will be bliyim, they will be gesunte kinder. The ochle bay, if she eats eggs, then she'll have children who have large eyes. The ochle kabri, if she eats fish, usually fish means larger fish as opposed to munini, which are the small fish that we had, then there'll be b'nei chayim. Having fish has a special chayim to it. Part of it has to do with the fact that the dogim swim underneath the water, and there's no ayin hara on the dogim, and so they're, to the contrary, they have a chain about them. The ochle karpasa, a woman that eats karpas. Karpas, as you know from Pesach, here the art scroll says karpas is celery. Havu b'nei is ziyun sunny. Then they have children who have a radiant countenance, who look very, very, very nice. They radiate. The ochle kuzbarta, if she eats kuzbarta. Kuzbarta, says Rashi, is alindra, which in English is coriander. If she eats coriander, havu lo b'nei bisrani. Then she'll have fat children, pali bosar. If she eats a sroigin, then she'll have children who have a very good scent about them. In fact, the Gemara tells us, Rati de Shavu Malka, Ochla Bo Ima Esroigin. Shavu Malka and his wife, the Mrs. Shavu Malka, had a daughter, and that daughter's mother, in other words, the Mrs. Shavu Malka, I guess she was the queen, she ate the sroigin. And as a result, her daughter had a wonderful fragrance. Baba Maskilo the Kamei Avua Beresh Rechni. At those times when they would bring out perfumes or fragrances before Shavar Malka, then they would take her first before all the other psamim because she had the best scent of them all. She was heaven sent with a special scent. Says Imar, Omer Avuna. Okay, so now we are done with that list of things that people can do, etc. And now we're going to go back to the Inyan of Lohanik. Remember back in the Mishnah we had on Nun Tes on the day that every wife is supposed to supply 7 services, 7 malachas to her husband. One of them was Meinika Espinah, that she's going to be the wet nurse for their child. Instead of hiring a wet nurse, she is the one that's going to nurse their child. That's one of the 7 malachas that she is supposed to supply to her husband. So now the Gemara tells us, Om Rav Huna, Bodik Lon Rav Huna Bar Chinana, He Oymeris Lohanik, or Oymer Shaloi Lohanik. When if she says she wants to be married, she wants to nurse her child. Vu Oymer, but the husband says, Shaloi Lohanik, I don't want you to go and nurse the child. Now why would the husband say, I don't want you to go and nurse the child? The Gemara doesn't tell us, but presumably the reason is because
she doesn't have no milk.
I'm sorry?
If you have relations with her, you're pregnant, she'll have no milk. That's what maybe you want to have kids.
That's a very good point. Our Gemara apparently is not talking about that. You're right, when in fact they happen to be, when she happens to be pregnant, then there is a concern that if she were to become not pregnant, if she is a nursing mom, if she were to become pregnant again, the fetus inside might go and draw from the nourishment and nutrients of the milk. True. Here, however, we're not necessarily talking about a situation where there might or might not be a fetus. If you remember yesterday, the Gemara said, even after she becomes pregnant, there's a 3-month period of time until the milk becomes lessened in terms of its nourishment and its nutrients. So they could theoretically go and live together and become pregnant, and nevertheless they could afterwards she would stop nursing 3 months later. But in the meantime, there's a Tosis back here on Nun Tes Amud Beis. If you remember, the Mishnah said that a wife has to supply 7 malachas to her husband. However, right after the Mishnah, 2 lines later, the Gemara said Masisa Leker Abchia. Our Mishnah doesn't stem with Rav Chia. This was back on Nun Tes Amud Beis 59b. Why not? The son of Rav Chia ain't Isha El Yoifi. A person who marries a wife, he wants an attractive wife. Ain't Isha El Labanim. He wants to have children. So how is this different than our Mishnah? Our Mishnah says she has to supply 7 malachas, and Rav Chia says you get married for Yoifi. So what's the disconnect? So Tois, yeah. So
by nursing it makes
sense. Oh, that's the your Ariel, you're putting your finger on it. If you go to the second choices before the bottom of Nun Tes Amud Beis, Nun Tes Amud Beis, Tani Rav Chia, it's 5 lines in the bottom. Tani Rav Chia, Ein Yishael Liyoyfi, Lei Palig, Rav Chia is only arguing on the first three, not the first three, but 3 of the 7. And what are those? Teichemes, Va'oifa, Omenikes, Bena, Ukiyoitz, Ben, Shemakhishois, Yoifia. Her having to do the grinding, or having to do. Exactly, or at least potentially could detract. For instance, to go and work with sewing and knitting, that's Kunish, that doesn't take away from her yafi. But Menikis Benoah could potentially take away from her yafi. And maybe that's the reason why the husband in our Gemara says, I hold like her Kriya, and I don't want my wife to have anything. She's a very attractive young lady, and I want her to continue to be attractive.
This is before the Takana of only one wife, right? He could have had another wife, one for Kriya, one for kids.
Apparently, this fellow is an intelligent person. He doesn't want multiple wives. For anybody that is married, you know, dealing with one wife, in my family, it's total roses and beauty every day. But that's not necessarily the case throughout the world. And so having more than one wife is already an undertaking.
Everyone in your family has one wife.
Baruch Hashem.
Baruch Hashem. No more than one wife.
I'm hoping that you soon too will meet Epshim. One wife. But anyway, as well as Daniel and as well as anybody else that needs one. So there's an Ichidukum for their children. Okay. Getting back to our Gemara, the Gemara says, she wants to nurse her own baby. And the father says, I don't want you to nurse. We're going to hire a wet nurse. Shame Allah. We listen to her. Why? Because Sarah did. What is the tzara of hers? So Rashi says on the second line, which means that the woman becomes engorged with that milk, and she says, I have to let that milk out. If I don't, it's extremely painful. And therefore, she says, that's why I want a nurse to get this milk out. So then we listen to her. The Rambam says it's not because of the physical tzar, but the emotional tzar. A mommy just gave birth to a baby and she wants to strengthen that connection, the emotional, the sentimental, that bond, motherly love, and that's the tzar. Don't take away my baby, give it to a wet nurse. I want to go nurse her, nurse the child myself. Okay. Right. Who oimer lo hanish li oimer shlohem? What happens if it's the other way around? The husband says, I want you to go and be manic. I want you to go and be manic. I don't want a nurse. Now, what's the halacha now? Now, as we'll see in the Gemara momentarily, this wasn't just a sentimental physical issue. This is also a financial issue. What's the financial issue? Presumably, among the wealthy, they didn't have their wives go and nurse. Presumably because they wanted the women to be with them, to travel and to come and to go and not to be busy with babies. And so therefore they would hire a wet nurse. However, those people that were not so financially strong, so then the woman would go and nurse herself, and that obviously would make life easier in terms of the finances. They don't have to hire a separate wet nurse. So who are you going? He wants her to go be manic because apparently he wants to save a couple of bucks. The Amershalonic, and she said, no, I don't want to. In my family, none of us, we never were manic, we always hired someone. Ismail, what's the dinner? If it's not the oirech, it's not the derech in her family to go and nurse themselves, but rather they hire an outside wet nurse, we listen to her, because when he married her, he has to go live up to her standards. What happens in her family, in fact, they did nurse. They apparently were of lesser means, had lesser means. However, in his family, they were Groyser Kanakers, and they didn't have the wives go and nurse, but they would hire outside wet nurses. Is my. So what's the now? Do we go after his standard of living, even though he's the one that says, I want you to be manic, I want to go and save a couple of bucks. However, the derech in his family was to go and hire wet nurses. Oh, he busted the doors, and he go after her, and she says, no, in my family, we didn't have a wet nurse. In my family, we nursed, but I don't want a nurse, because I want to live up to your standards. Shitn lo mihan, therefore we'll push it from the following. We had this Gemara earlier on in our Masechta, that when a woman gets married to her husband, she goes up with him in terms of his standard of living, but she does not go down to his standard of living. So therefore, it's the greater of the two. It's either, if her standard of living is greater, then it's in accordance with hers, and if his standard of living is greater, then she goes up to him. So she's only Imai, she goes up with him. If he comes from the wealthy class, therefore she can go and act like a wealthy individual, then you're ready to see my. However, if he happens to be from a lesser class and she is from a wealthier class, she doesn't have to go down to his standards. She can stay with hers. Amrafuna micro, what's the right of the Pasuk? Said the Pasuk, Behib Ulas Baal, the Mordash, and Bali Yossi Shal Baal, the Loy Yedi Rossi Shal Baal. She only goes up with her husband in terms of standards of wealth. She does not go down to his standards. Exactly. So now getting back to our Gemara, so therefore, when she says, I don't care what you say about my nursing, I want to have the higher standard, and that higher standard either wasn't in her family was the higher standard, or in his family was the higher standard. I want to live up to that higher standard, and I don't want to go and nurse, I want to go and hire a wet nurse, and we listen to her. So that's the first makar, according to Avuna, from this pasuk. The Blazer Miyaka have another pasuk, ki hoisa ein kol choy. What do we learn from that pasuk? L'chaim nitna, v'loy litzar nitna. That she was giving l'chaim and not litzar, and therefore you cannot be mitzayer. When she gets married, she's entitled to live according to the wealthier strata that she's got.
So this goes in contrast to the Mishnah that says she does have to nurse the kids.
Our Mishnah is talking about a situation where both his custom and her custom were that the mommies nursed the children. However, if either in his family the custom was to hire a wet nurse, or in her family the custom was a wet nurse, then she's allowed to go with the hire the two standards.
So if she's off the hook with the nursing, is there another thing that's substituted?
Hagemar doesn't bring another substitute.
Okay.
Sorry. And Igmar continues on. Yichnis aloy shifra. Okay, so you remember now in our Mishnah, there were seven avoiders, seven malachas all together. If you want to just return to the Mishnah for a short moment. No, in Tess, Amad, Beis, Eilu malachas, Yisha, Oysa, Lebal. What are the seven? Toichenes means that she grinds, for instance, the tvua. The tvua means the grain. Vo'if, and then she bakes, that's two. Umechabesa, she does the laundry, is three. Mevashala, she cooks, is four. Venikas, v'not, which we've been talking about, that's number five. Umetzasli, amita, she does the beds, is six. Vo'isa, mitzemer, and she goes and does all different types of spinning and sewing and knitting, etc. That's number seven. But now the Mishnah continues. If she was a wealthy lady, and when she got married, she brought along with her a helper, a shivcha, of the seven, she's off the hook of the first three. That shivcha achas is going to do one, two, and three, and she has the remaining four. Shtayin, if she has two shvachos, ein mevashelas ve'ein menika es benah. So now she's off the hook for five. Right? First shivcha did three, second shivcha does two more, she's off the hook for five. Shalish, three, ein mitzas lamita min ois mitzemer, then she doesn't have to do all seven. Arba, when she has four shvachos, yeshevis v'katadra, she can go and sit on an easy chair and relax and sun herself in the sun all day. Make sure to put on sun tablets. So that's if you have four altogether.
The what about her obligation for her husband?
All of these seven obligations have been yotzei through the four ladies.
She has no obligation for her husband to das mishamita?
Oh, that's separate. That you cannot
delegate. You don't have the maid for it.
You can't delegate that.
What?
Anyway.
You can't obligate? Not delegate, but you can't obligate?
We're going to talk about it more later on the
common
problem. So we have the four shvachos, yeshevis v'katadra. That she can go and have an easy.
So what is the fourth main? I thought the third one gets all the way up to seven.
So your question therefore is?
What does the fourth main accomplish?
Excellent question. What Bill is saying is, since we split up all seven among the three, the first one does three, the second one does two, the third one does two, that covers all the seven, so then why do we even talk about the fourth yeshivas bekatadra, even if you didn't have a fourth, just by the fact that you have three that did all seven, then she can go, that is the wife can go and sit bekatadra, that's your kasha. And that's going to be the Gemara's kasha, which we're going to see in Me'at Hashem shortly, and Tosi speaks about it a little bit on the Mishnah, but let's wait until we get to the Gemara. If the first shivcha does three of the seven, Hashara of them, but she, meaning the wife, has to do the other four. But they, why can't she go and say to her husband, "I was lecha, it's a bechari koi"? obviously, if the wife can accomplish seven avodah zarah, she can say, because I brought in the shivcha, that shivcha will do all seven. Obviously, if I'm capable of doing seven, she can do the seven. And therefore, what do we have to have? Three women. The husband says to the wife, it's true, when you have one lady in the house, she can take care of both the man in the house and the lady in the house, and therefore I married you, you could take care of all seven malachas and take care of me and take care of yourself. However, now that we have a shivcha in the house, so now it's a household of three people, so that shivcha, she's going to be matriya l'didi for me and take care of your avodos, u'l'dido and for herself. But kama didach mantara, who's going to go and take care of you? Because it's a three-person household. Therefore, that's why we only allocate to the shivcha certain malachas, and the wife has to go and do the others. What happens if you have shtayim? Oh, now you have two. Ein b'mashal is ve'ein menika. So Gemara, hashara avda. But it means that the remaining three avodos, I'm sorry, remaining two avodos, stay with the wife, right? The first one does three, second one does two, that's the case of five, and now the wife has to do the final two. Take the more of a tame away, why can't she go and say, I was the it's I brought in a woman, achriti, another one, the darcha l'didi, u'l'didah, v'chad l'didah, u'l'didah. Your complaint a moment ago, that the reason why she still has to do certain avodos is because we have now a three-person household, now we have a four-person household. The first shivcha is going to go and take care of you, my husband, and herself. The second shivcha is going to take care of me and herself. And so therefore, that covers the waterfront. Why do we have to have a third shivcha? It shouldn't be on the law, because the husband says to the wife, "Kami orchi uparchi mantar." Who's going to go and take care of the guests? Orchi is from Russian oyreach, parchi is from Russian of flying. What does that mean, flying guests? So Rashi says, orchi means those guests that stay for a while, like for a week or for a month, a almost established temporary resident. And parchi, those are the ones that fly in and out. They come in one day and they're out the next day or the same day, they just come for a meal.
Wait, so, bringing a shivcha,
yeah.
The woman brings a shivcha. Who pays? I mean, the owners and the upkeep of the shivcha is worth more than the shivcha. So who pays that? The woman's dowry or the husband?
On the surface, it would be that she's bringing in the shivcha, she's going to go and pay for it. However, you have a very good point. Since they're married now, it would seem to be that the master of the house, he should have that duty to go and pay. If that's the case, it's going to be a financial burden on him. And the question that you are raising is the top choices. If you look at the top choices, thank you for coming back from Eretz Yisrael. They say, Avira de Eretz Yisrael, Machkin. So therefore, Baruch Hashem, you've come back with so much wisdom, you're really hitting every nail on the head. See the top choices, at least like Shifra Akad. Sastema, in whose zon oisah, he has to go and give him zonis. And King Mamar Viech Abad, to believe Shifra, he ois oisah akoyel. Bill, you've asked such a strong kasha that Tosfos doesn't even have an answer to it. Okay, so Shkoyach for raising the issue. Anyway, so we're going back to our Gemara now. The reason why, if you have two shvachos, she has to continue, the wife still has to do two further mulachos, because somebody has to go and take care of the guests. And why does somebody have to take care of the guests? So Rashi explains, once you have more household individuals, by definition that attracts more guests and more visitors. Person who's living all by himself, one guy on his own, or a couple, just a husband and wife, they typically don't have so many people coming in and going out. But once you have two shvachos, then it's in and out and constantly people going and coming, so by definition visitors and guests are going to arrive on the scene, and that's why the wife still has to go and provide certain services, because the two shvachos will be overwhelmed. Sholei, says Gemara, ein matzasa mita. At this point she is off the hook, because the third one will take care of the remaining two. One says matzasa mita, but it's also the tzeh. Is a mashma that she does other things. Now, we didn't mention anything else, and this is really Bill's question, and that is, we said that there's seven altogether. Number one does three. Number two does two. Number three does two. So therefore, that's covered the waterfront, all seven. Now we're saying, Hashara Abda, the wife still has to do the rest. There is no rest. We didn't go and mention anything else. So Rashi, there's a short Rashi over here, about 7 or 8 lines in Hoshara. She's going to Dvorim Tanin, Klein Zachen, small things. Rashi doesn't define what the small things are. Rashi in the Mishnah, however, gave us an example of those small little things. If you want to go back to Rashi in the Mishnah, Nun Tes Amit Reis, you'll see that the Rashi start beyond halfway down. Yoshev is the Katadra, that's 4 or 5 lines into the Rashi. That's when she has 4. Then she could sit on the easy chair. Loi titrach bishviloi, leilech bishlichus, lehavi loi chayfitz mi bayis laliyah. Once you're talking about that there are 4 shvachos, then the 4th shivcha, she can do the kleiner zachen. What are the kleiner zachen? What happens if the husband asks his wife, honey, can you please go and bring me down something from the 2nd floor and bring it down to the 1st floor? Normally that would be the dvarim ketanim that she would have to supply, but because of the fact that there are 4, she goes and sends the 4th, the shliach, go and please bring me down that small little thing, etc. Anyway, so Shara Abda, if there are only 3 shvachas, then she has to do those dvarim ketanim. She has to bring the mail. She has to go and bring the things from the 2nd floor, etc. But Tamele, why can't she say again, Ayis l'cho akhriti, I've brought in now my 3rd one, la'orchi upa'archi. Meaning, we have now 3 shvachas over here. One is for l'didi u'l'dida. The other one is l'didach u'l'dida. Then we have the 3rd one is taking care of the orchi parchi. Why does she have to do anything? The more shvachas that you bring into the house, the more visitors you have in the house. And that's why she still has to do the dvarim ketanim. Even if you have that 4, that's going to mean wrong more visitors. And if that's the case, why then do we say she sits in an armchair and she an easy chair and she goes and suns herself all day? There, all these visitors are coming. And for the more Arabic, given the Nefishalu, since there are so many Shvachis, Messiah Adadi. Each one of the Shvachis helps out the other one. Shvifka number 1 helps out the 2nd, and the 2nd helps out the 1st, and the 3rd, the 2nd, and the 3rd, the 4th. So, Baruch Hashem, once you have 4, then you know, that's already easy life.
Marka Shvachim, Marka Zima.
We'll talk about that soon. Can I never hear you? On top of it all. Even though the Mishnah says she's going to bring in shvachos, it doesn't mean literally a shivcha. What means ru'uya l'achnis? If she happens to be, Baruch Hashem, a lady of means, she brought in a large nadin, a large dowry, so she says to her husband, my husband, I have no intention of doing any of the work. So you're going to tell me who's going to do the work? I brought in a nadin of $1 million. You can now afford to hire 1 shifcha, 2 shvachas, 3 shvachas, whatever you want. I'm off the hook. So that's on Bishlo Yechnisa. She doesn't physically have to bring in a shifcha. She brought in enough money to cover the shvachas. Let him go and hire. Tana, we learned back in the Braisa. Echot Yechnisa Roy. Either that she actually brought physically in a shifcha or two. Or that she was able to go and bring in enough money because even if she wasn't a lady of means, she cut corners. Every time she had to go and eat, she would go and eat a drop less. So she saved a couple of nickels here and a couple of dimes there. When she had an allocation or an allowance for clothes, she bought it from without the fancy Calvin Klein label on it. And therefore it was a little bit cheaper and she kept on cutting corners, and she was able to scrape together enough money to be able to go and afford a shiva. Arab Yishev is the katadra. Once you have 4, then she can go and sit on the easy chair. Omer Yitzchak bar Chinna, Omer Avuna, Avol Bisha, Omer Yishev is the katadra. Avol, there's still 3 additional avoidos, which are not required, but which are recommended. The reason why they're recommended is to be able to instill a certain degree of endearment and love between the husband and the wife. What are those 3? Mezegas le kais, that she goes and pours the kais. Now, mezegas doesn't necessarily only mean pouring, it also means to dilute, which means in the good old days you didn't go and buy wine like you do today, where it's already fully diluted. But rather you went and bought, but I think they call it port wine, which is almost like a syrup. It's very, very thick. And you have to add to that either 2 parts of water, 3 parts of water, to be able to make it drinkable. So she would be the one that would be mezegas le kais, and then she would also extend it to her husband to drink. Umatzasle samita, she also prepared the bed.
Wait a minute, isn't that in the Mishnah? That's 1 of the 7.
Beautiful. So, it's good that the two of you are sitting together. Our post-birthday boy, who's sitting together with the one who just came back from Eretz Yisrael, is now asking a huge kasha. Matzas Leisamitza is one of the seven, right? If you go back to the Mishnah again, that was right here, Manikas Benav, the third line of the Mishnah, Matzas Leisamitza. So what are you telling me that even she has four, she should still Matzas Leisamitza? That's what the four ladies are doing. So Rashi asks your kasha. And Rashi says there are two different matzahs and samita. The matzahs and samita we're talking about in our Mishnah means to go and make the beds from scratch. That you only have the mattresses, and you have to go and take all the linens and all the linens, and then you have to put the bedspreads, and you have to put the pillows, and that's a ganze melucha. If you've never done it before, try it out, hopefully you have. Then you'll know it's a time consuming and it's a tircha. And then, of course, you have to wash all the things and put the back. And this matzahs and samitas, we're talking about something which is much more a lead on, if you will, to intimacy, which means at night she goes and opens up his bedspread from his bed as if to say, okay, now it's time to go to sleep, etc., which can lead to endearment, etc. So where's this Rashi that I'm talking about? This Rashi is about a quarter down the Yomid. Havu mezeges lekoyis ametzas liyamita. So Rashi, lifreis sadin ulevodin, dobish ena koyra. We're just talking about to undo or to spread or unspread the spreads on the bed, which is not a big tircha. We want to go and have an attraction and an endearment between husband and wife by going and taking off the bedspread and making the bed available. So this is mila de chiba. This is now Ariel's kasha. We're talking about to make the bed from scratch. Here we're not talking about making the bed from scratch. We're talking about just to open it up and make it inviting at night when one goes to sleep. So getting back to our Gemara, so says Rav Huna, even though she can sit in the easy chair, however, we recommend that she do these three things: mezegas lekoyis, to dilute the koyis and hand it over to her husband; matzas leisamita, and to go and prepare the bed at night; umachetzes leponav yodav aragvav, as well as to go and wash face, hands, and legs. Now the Mefarshim explain, as we'll see in a moment, that we're not talking about physically to go and wash it, but rather that she takes a large bucket, a large pail, a large shep, and she goes and pours it over the face, hands, and legs, and then he goes and fishes and washes and does whatever he needs to do. So by offering this an additional hand, this is also considered to be a thing of endearment. And remember, they didn't have showers and baths like we have today, so it was much more of a thing to go and pour and help out in the pouring of the water, to help him out in washing himself. All of the seven things that we mentioned in our Mishnah, a nida can go and do for her husband, except for these three that we just mentioned. Because, as Rashi said, these are divrei chiva. And when we said batos amita, says the Gemara, that this is considered to be a dover of chiba, which could lead potentially to other things, and therefore we want a nida to refrain, so it shouldn't chas v'shalom lead to potential intimacy, which would be prohibited. So that's only in front of him. In other words, he's getting ready to go to sleep, he's getting ready to put on his pajamas, etc., and then she goes and opens up the bed. This is like an invitation. That's problematic for a nida. If he's still learning the daf and preparing the daf and chazering the daf in the other room, and then she opens up the bed, and then when he comes in, it's already open, but that's already not on that same level of chiba, and therefore we don't have to be concerned.
Tochanis open the vashelas, though, if she's a nida, she's in the tummy of food.
That's fine.
And so that's, if you're not worried about that, it's not cooling now.
Unless he's a koyin or he's a yin. Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
What about pouring the kais? So now it's not just pouring and diluting, it's also handing over the kais. So Shmuel Mechalfele did this of Yaradismah. Those days that she was a nida, instead of handing over the kais with her right hand, she would do with the left hand to go and make a shtikel shino. And similarly, Abayim Manchele Apuma de Kuva, his wife would go and put it down on Puma de Kuva, means they had a barrel there from which they extracted the wine initially, so after she would go and be mezeges leis hakoyis, she'd put the kois on top, not on the table where they were sitting to eat dinner, but she would go and put it on top of the barrel itself.
Just review halachically what can, like a niva transverse tumah, what's the...
So a woman who happens to be a niva is not supposed to have any physical touch with her husband. She's not even supposed to hand over something to her husband and have him take it in his hand. In other words, she is not allowed to go and hand him anything, not only just the cost, but anything.
But didn't we learn, like, a niva who touches something, it becomes tongue?
Absolutely.
So what is...
You're just following up on Barry's question right before. We're assuming that the Tumah B'Tahara is not an issue. He happens to be Tummy himself. He was just out of the body. He's going to be Tummy for the next week anyway. So that's not the issue. The only issue is it shouldn't come, if she's a Nida, they shouldn't come to touch each other. And therefore, we don't even allow for her handing things over to him, or vice versa, him handing over things to her. Rather, he should put it down on the table and they should take him. Sorry?
The question about a baby, what's it?
Okay. Anyway, Allah the Maisa, please speak to your competent
authority. Well, what you can hand your wife, his wife can hand you the baby.
If the baby is old enough to go and at least start lunging towards, then the chayyim is no problem. If not, then it becomes far more problematic. But then again, speak to a competent Orthodox rabbi, and he will guide you accordingly. But getting back to our Gemara, so in the case of the Mrs. Shmuel, or the Rebbetzin Shmuel, she, instead of handing it over with the right hand, she handed it over with the left hand. So it doesn't say whether or not Shmuel actually received it from his wife, or she just put it down on the table with the left hand. If it's referring to that she actually handed over with her left hand, so then they are more makel than common day practical halacha, which is more in the current consistent with Abaye and Rava, that in fact you don't hand anything over from hand to hand. Even if you do it with a shinui, with the left hand, you put it down on the table. But it could be that she was even more machmir, that she didn't hand it over to Shmuel, but rather she put it on the table instead of with the right hand, with the left hand, even a greater shinui. And Abaye machli apum bekuba, the wife didn't put it down on the table, but she put it up on the top of the barrel. Well, Rava abisadya, as you know, in the good old days they had haseba throughout the year, so they had these beds and stuff, and they had also cushions. So she wouldn't put it down on the table; she put it on one of those cushions. Well, Rapapa asharshifa, asharshifa is a bench, so she put it down like on the chair on the bench instead of putting it down on the table. Which, by the way, when a chus and kala get married nowadays, so also until they have children, until they have guests, also the custom is that when she's serving dinner or something, not to go and put the plate down straight in front of him, but to the right or to the left, somewhere else on the table, to go and show that she is a nida and therefore stay away. Okay, so now we didn't need it, now we're talking about a waiter. And what the Gemara tells us is, you should be very, very nice and kind to the waiter, not only by giving a tip, but also not allowing the waiter to crave the food so that he gets all types of intestinal juices going and warming up in his body, saying, "Oi, I'd like to eat from those foods." Anything you can masha. Masha means to go and wait and delay. What does that mean? That apparently one of the tips that they gave to the waiters was that they would allow the waiter to eat from the same foods that he was serving to the oilman in the restaurant or wherever he was serving it, and he would eat the leftovers in the kitchen and things of that nature. So Ravuna says it's not urgent that the waiter eat first. You can let him delay to eat, except if he is serving basar v'yayin. The basar v'yayin typically have such a wonderful scent to them and often are pungent, so that could go and affect him. And therefore we want him to be able to taste from those first and then have a shtickle satisfaction, and then he can go and wait and serve and wait in terms of acting as a waiter and serve his guests. So those two things, basar v'yayin, he should eat first. We're not talking about any basar, we have to basar shamei. It's a nice fatty meat, and then it has once you roast it, or cook it, has such a wonderful scent to it. The yayin yashan, and old wine, which presumably again we're talking about good old wine, which people that are medinim love old this type of yayin yashan. Omer Rava, basar shamei kol shakula yayin yashan b'tkufas tamei. The din of basar shamei applies to whole year. Yayin yashin is particularly during Tammuz, because then says Rashi, Reichai chozak b'choy mayon mecharcher boi ke'eret. It's such a hot day that if he doesn't go and drink a little wine to go and help himself, what's going to happen is, Chas v'Shalom, it's as if there's an eretz, like poison inside his body, that craving for this delicious wine, which smells so pungent and has such a wonderful scent. Oh, I'd love to have some of that wine. If you're not going to go and allow him to drink it first, he could be whining the whole day.
How do you translate b'charcher in Rashi?
How do you say choy mayoy b'charcher by? It's acting up in him, careless, like a lemon, like a poison. Omer avonu bar tachlifa, have a kitten to come to Mar Shmuel, v'aisulei tafshila d'ardi. They brought him a tafshil of ardi of mushrooms. V'ilav d'yoyev li, and if it wasn't for the fact that he gave me some, in other words, this of onu bar tachlifa, he was the waiter that was standing in front of Mar Shmuel, and he was the one that was serving the mushroom. He loved the oily, and Shmuel was a kind-hearted individual. And he said, please take some of these mushrooms. Istakni chasasho, I would have come the day sakana, because I was so interested in eating that it smelled so good, that really my intestinal juices were really coming at it. Rashi says he was afraid he was going to have ochzani bulmus. Bulmus is some sort of sickness that people have, usually from people that are starving. So a person who smells food and can't eat it, in a sense he's like starving for that food, craving for that food, I could have become sick. And the Gemara tells a similar story, so Rabashi had him becoming the Kahana, Baisele Garglidi, the lifter of the challah. They gave him this delicious delicacy. Lift is lefes, which is turnips. Garglidi, says Rashi, which were cut in very small little pieces. And the challah they put into vinegar. Whee! This is Chazoy Yishmak. He loved the oily. If it wasn't for the fact that he gave me something to eat, it's Tachri. That's the Shomer would have become the Sukkot and had Sakkot. When it says you have a Kedim Nekamei, you could theoretically read that as I was just standing there, or it could mean that he was the waiter that was standing in front of him and waiting on him. I'm not sure.
Rashi was a very wealthy man. It's unusual. I don't think he serving him maybe because Rav Kanda is ready or something, but Rabashi himself was a wealthy, wealthy man.
That's fine. But any time that you haven't eaten for a few hours, you want to eat, even though I ate yesterday. Exactly. So Rabashi could have been the wealthiest person in the world, but if he hadn't eaten, and he smells these wonderful delicacies, he says, boy, I could eat some of those now. I'm hungry. Rabbapa Amrafilu Tamrisa Dehanunisa. Same thing applies to Tamrisa. A Tamar is a date. Tamrisa, says Rashi, Shmeina, a real fatty date. Ooh, good, good, schmuck. What's the general rule? Called the Islay Recha, the Islay Kiwa. Anything which has a wonderful scent and is pungent, then this halach applies. Make sure to go and give the guests, the waiters first, so that they're not craving for this and they are chas v'shalom to get misukah. The Gemara tells us, Avua Bar'i, Uminyam and Bar'i, perhaps those are brothers, it doesn't say. Chad Sofi Mikol Mina Umina, Chad Sofi Mikhad Mina. When they had a waiter, the first one was careful that when the waiter was going and waiting and giving out the delicacies, he would go and feed him from every one of the portions. He would say, Mr. Waiter, take a seat before you go on, have a shtickle fish, take a little bit of the chicken soup, take a little bit of the chowin, and the kugel, and he gave from every one of the meat. I'm sorry?
Before
to sleep. And the other one would only give him from one of the meat, would give him enough so that he would have, at least initially he wouldn't be starving, but he wouldn't give from the kol minu min. Look at what the schar was. Mar mishtoy Eliyahu badei, one of them, in other words, the one that was more generous, that gave me kol minu mina, Eliyahu Hanavi would appear to him and speak to him. Umar loy mishtoy Eliyahu badei. Eliyahu felt, even though he was also a good guy, he gave him safi michad mina, but he didn't call me kol minu min. So if Eliyahu is not Mikal, he didn't reveal himself to that individual. Similarly, I know Tartan Chassidim, there were two Chassidim. The Amri Lo and others identified the two people as being Rav Mari, for Rav Pinchas B'nei Rav Chizda, Mar Kodim Safi, or Mar Mi'acher Safi. One of them would make sure that even before he would eat, before the waiter was serving, he would say, please, take a seat, you eat first, take a piece of the fish, take a piece of the kugel, take the eat before I eat. Mar Mi'acher Safi, you know, he said, he served me, okay, now join me at the meal and now go and eat from these delicacies. They called him Safi, the one that gave first to the waiter, so you see from this how careful you have to be about other people's sensibilities and sensitivities and potential cravings, make sure they don't go around starving and hungry. These three, Amein, Rav Zutra, and Rav Ashi, they were sitting in front of the doorway to the palace of Asgur the Melech. Cholif the Ozel, who is Asgur the Melech? Rashi says he was a Persian king. Shein Melech Paras. Okay. Cholif the Ozel are Turniga de Malka. Turniga de Malka, says Rashi, is the steward that was in charge of all the meals for the Sarim, and presumably for the king. And in other words, he was the chief person in the kitchen and in the dining room, and he was the one in charge, the MC, twice, of giving out the portions. So now, this Tornega de Malka was passing by outside the door of the palace. Perhaps the kitchen was outside the palace, and he's now bringing the food in. Chazir of Ashin and Marzutra, Rav Ashi, so Marzutra was one of the three, the Chavor Ape, that his face was turning totally white and pale. And the reason is that the Taprashi, Shinis Avla Machl, apparently Marzutra hadn't eaten in days, and he was really pale, and he was smelling the food, and he said, oh, delicious. But Chas V'Sholem, he was going to faint because he was not allowed to eat any of that. So what did Rav Ashi do? Rav Ashi shokel be'etzbaasei. He dipped his finger into one of those beautiful delicacies that the waiter was bringing to the king and handed it over anachle b'puma, and he put it into the mouth of Mazutra, and he basically did tchias amesim. He brought him back to life. Omalei. So now this Arturniga, the person who's in charge of the food, was quite upset. He says, Afsadis the Sudos of the Malka. The Melech cannot go and eat from it. You put your finger in, there's no way that he can go and eat from the Suda. Now you just ruined it all. Omrulay, they asked Rav Ashi, Amai Tevet Hachi, why did you do this? So Rav Ashi answered, Omrulahu, Man de Ovid Hachi, Hossel the Malka, the Machel the Malka. Whoever prepared this food, he's disqualified from preparing such food from the Melech. What do you mean? What do you mean by that? Amulei amai. Why is he disqualified? What's the problem? Amulei, you don't even realize. Dover acher chazoi bay. In this food, there's a dover acher. The dover acher has a double meaning. Meaning number one, it's dover acher. It's pork. It's from chazer. But number two, it's full of tzaras. Tzaras means this type of leprosy, which of course is dangerous for a king, or for that matter for anybody to eat. And therefore I put my finger in so that to make sure that you're not going to serve it to the king. I don't want Chas V'Sholem that the king should go and he'll die, he's going to go and eat from this apparently they didn't see that part. They just saw that he put in the finger. They didn't see what happened after that.
This is just an excuse.
We're not finished yet. This is we're in the middle of this exciting story. You got to wait until the end. Is Omulu Dovarach Chazoybe. The reason why I put in my finger is I didn't want the Melech Chas V'Sholem to die. Bodku, when they heard that, Vilayashkhu, they checked all the different pieces of this delicacy, and they looked and there's no Dovaracher, there's no Metzoyra, it looks fine. Shokel Etzba'osei. So now Rav Ashi took the finger of the, Rashi says, of the Kfela. Kfela has a double definition. Kfela means the cook, and it also means the taster. And Imari tells us that if you want to know whether something has nois and tam or not, you can ask the Akum the Kfeila to go and taste it to see whether or not the milk gives tam to the butter. And the shear for that is shisha. So if it's 1/60th or more, then typically the taster will say, I feel the milk in this meat.
Interesting, it's staff samachal, yeah.
And that's somehow
the battle of Shishim.
Ah, but the Shishim. Okay. Good. Shkoya. Is Bodkoli Ashkokal Atzve Azesi? He, Rav Ashi, took the finger of the Kfela of the taster, Anachalei, and he put it on one particular piece. And he said, Omelahu, Hacha Vipaskisu, did you taste or did you try this piece over here? Guess what? Bodku Ashkoku. They found, in fact, that in that piece that he was pointing to, that he put his finger on, yo, it was Taket Dover Acher, there was a piece of Chazer that was Metzoyra that had on it the Tzaras. As Rashi says, and as Gemara is going to say in another moment, the Nasa Leines, it was a miracle that occurred in Minas Shemayim. Look, Gemara, Omulei Rabban, the Rabbanan said, to Ravashi, my time is Samchas Anisa. How were you able to go and perform this? That you put your finger in and you gave to Mazutra and then you relied on a nest. I mean, you should have realized that if the waiters and stewards of the king are going to see that you put your finger in, it's going to be a ganze tumult. Didn't you realize that on your own and you're Samech on a nest? I looked at Mazutra's face, it was turning all white and all green, it was like tsaras coming and spreading out on his face, and I was worried about his life, and I figured I have no choice, I had to put my finger in. What happened, happened, and therefore if ultimately we had to have a mess.
That's what permissions do, like when he started.
It's a king, it's a king's stable.
What's the likelihood that they're going to go and share if he's going to say my friend is starving? That would be a great idea. Okay, anyway, that's not what happened. Exactly. And we continue on to the next story. Ha'ura morda ha'malolahi itza mincivously, there was a Roman fellow who said to a lady, will you marry me? Amalesa, she said back to him, loy, you can stand on your head, I'm never going to marry you. Ozel Aisi Rimni, what he did was, he had her sit there in the same room, and he brought in rimoinim. Rimoinim, as you know, are pomegranates. Pali, and he started peeling them. The ochel kamo, and he started eating in front of her these delicious rimoinim. Now, of course, today, any day of the week, you can go and buy pomegranates in a store. This is a real delicacy that you didn't normally get. And he had them, and her mouth was watering, literally. As kolmaya detzarila, every moment as she's watching him peeling and eating these rimoinim, she is salivating. And what did she do with that saliva? Bala say, she was swallowing it again and again and again. Filoi havla, and he, this Roman, would not offer her even one rimon pit out of, you could say, the 613. Go and count them, Rabbi say. Ad dezogla, until she ate, not she ate, she drank so much, or she swallowed so much of her saliva, more and more and more, her whole face began to swell, and it swelled so much that now her skin became very, very thin, until it was almost transparent, translucent like glass. The Soif Amula, eventually he said to her, Imasinallah, if I'm going to give you a remedy, if I'm going to give you a refuah, mincivously, will you then marry me? Amalei, and yeah, I'm in such hot water now, I'm in such trouble, she's all swelled up. As she says, if you see, Adzok, about 3-4 lines higher in the Rashi. Nofchu paneha, her face swelled up, Ukraisa, and her belly. The Nasu kischuches, became so swelled that the skin became so thin, it became like glass. She came down kanafuchim, because that's what happens when a person swells up so much that the skin becomes so thin you can practically see through the skin. So therefore she said, yeah, if you're going to go and give me a refuah, then I'll marry you. Also, what did he do? Aisi Rimni, he brought more rimoinim, more pomegranates, pali, and once again he skinned them, he opened up, cracked them open, the ochel kama, and he ate in front of her just like before. But this time he told her, Omalah, any time that saliva comes up in your mouth and you're salivating, toif shadoi. The first thing you should do is immediately spit it out. And that's what she did. She spit it out so many times. Adanafki minyo, until it went out from her mouth that she spit out. Ki hutza yarka, like a hutza yarka. Yarka means that it's green. Hutza is something which grows from the tamarim tree.
Hutzavidafna,
which is a very thin types of bushes, which they use sometimes for making hedges, for making
borders
on from one property to the other, or in the middle of a chotzer and things of that nature. So he went, she spit out so much that finally what she spit out, the last thing that was coming out, looked like such green branches of such a lahutza tree, and the itzis, and as a result, Baruch Hashem, she had her full. The Gemara doesn't tell us, however, if they got married, and if they did get married,
they looked happily ever after.
Exactly. So that we leave to your imagination, and we continue on. Back in our Mishnah, it says that one of the seven barachas she has to do is voice of tzemer. She has to work with wool. So it's more tzemer in pishtan loy, but not with linen. What's that? This asisimani Rabbi Yehuda goes according to Rabbi Yehuda, the sign of the learning the price. Eimei koyfa loy lamoid lefnei ogre v'loy lamoid lefnei v'noy v'loy litein tevin lefnei behemter. Alfa koyfa litein tevin lefnei bekarei. That he cannot go and force her. The husband cannot go and force his wife. Loy lamoid lefnei ogre. Lamoid literally means to go and stand up, but presumably means also to go and serve his father and give him coffee or cake or what have you, or a meal. He cannot force it to do that. Or to do that for his son, presumably a pre-existing son from a prior marriage. And also not to have to go and give Teven straw before his behemoth. But he can go and force it to go and give Teven before his Bekar. Now, Bekaroi would seem to be synonymous with Behemtoi. What's the difference between Behema and Bakrai? Very good question. So Rashi already is bothered by this. Rashi gives two explanations. Rashi, explanation number one says Behemtoi. You see Behemtoi?
Yeah.
The Amway Besharis. See, it's not just standing up, but the Sharis are going surfing. Behemtoi is a Rashi. Sus v'chamor. If you say, go and give Tevin straw to the Chamor, you don't have to. Why not? Shein ziyonim v'tzayelim l'reviyah. Because these animals are interested in living with women. Can you imagine? They have an interest in living with women, what we call in English bestiality. Aval Bakar, ain't the Lord Acher Reviyah. You don't have to worry about that the cows are going to run after Reviyah Sisha. If you have a cow like that, you have to say, holy cow, because cows don't do that. Maybe that's why they're called holy cow. They're holy because they don't, they're not interested in living with a woman. You don't have to worry about that she is going to be seduced by a cow. She might be seduced by a sus v'chamor who starts coming and sniffing her and saying and makes all types of different motions as if to say, I would be interested in living with you. If the husband says, go and feed the sus v'chamor, I'm not going to, that sus keeps on horsing around, I don't want to get close to him. That's fine. But the cow, she has to go and search. So then that's the first shot. Benisha Mati says Rashi, second shot. Bokre and the Kavois, the Hemtoi are Schar. That when he asks her to go and serve the male animal, I don't want to get close to a male animal because there might be an interest. It's in a cave animal. I'm not Meshiga. You don't have to worry about it, and therefore she has to serve the female animals. There's two shots.
That's
the Tanakama. There's nothing to do with what we're talking about so far. We want to bring a Raya, Gabi the Pishta. Rabbi Yehuda Oimer. Oh, that's what he more said, Mani Rabbi Yehuda. Af in a kuifa laso is the Pishta, and they should Pishta Masriya Chesapa, and Masharbit Esas Vasai. What does that mean? That if you're going to ask her to go and sew Pishtun, which is flax or linen, then Masriya Chesapa causes terrible mouth odor, and also causes cuts into the lips. Now, how does sewing and knitting cause bad mouth odor, or perhaps going and cutting into the lips? Because the answer is, every now and then, when the flax thread doesn't want to thread nicely into the needle. Very good, you got the point. What do you have to do? You have to go and moisten it with some saliva. See, therefore, the women typically go and put some of the threads into their mouth to go and have it to tie more easily and to go through the needle and to the head of the needle, etc., etc. So what our Gemara is telling us is, if you do that on regular, let's say, wool thread or cotton thread, nothing to worry about. However, if you're putting pishtun thread into your mouth, then some of that will remain as a residue inside the mouth. It will give a terrible odor. And as well, since it's thicker and sharper, chasashom, it can cause a cut into the lips. But we're not talking about just any flax. It's got to be the Roman flax. Apparently, regular flax is not an issue, but the Roman flax, that is the issue. And therefore, our Mishnah says, semer yah, but Roman flax, Mishnah. So this is the point that Bill was making. Bill, who arrived from Eretz Yisrael and has the Chochmas Eretz Yisrael, said it's very good that the Tanakhama said that you have four shvachis and she can sit in the easy chair. But Rav Lezer said no. After the Chnis Alei Meya Shvachis, even she brought in 100 servants. Koy Falas is B'tzemer. He can force her to do something. Shabbatol Mevili Day Zima. A person who sits on his hands or her hands and does nothing all day, it can only lead to Zima. Zima means preetzus. In other words, potential problems. Therefore, she's got to do something. Shem Gamliel says something very similar, and he says, "Batol mevili day shimum." A person who sits on his hands and does nothing can become deranged, can become crazy. You have to do something. If you don't do something, it's only going to be trouble for that person and trouble for society. 99% of all the criminal acts that are done by all those that do criminal acts, they have nothing to do. They're unemployed. So what do they do all day? I mean, there's only that much to keep on looking at your iPhone and playing with all the games and stuff. Eventually the person says, well, maybe I can find some convenient prey to go and get some money or do other things. Getting back to Agabai, so Blazer says, Meyeshvachs. Omer Rab Malkiyoy. This is one of those six times the Gemara brings Malkiyoy and Malkiyah. Both the name Rab Malkiyoy and Rab Malkiyah are rare names that you don't typically find on a daily basis in the Gemara. And there was some confusion as to what Rab Malkiyoy with a vav said and Rab Malkiyah with an aleph or a hey, what he said. So therefore, says the Gemara, we start off Omram Malkiyoy, Omram Adbar Haba Allah Kira Blaz, we pass like a blaz, and even Meyeshvachis, she's gotta do something for her husband. Omram Khanina Bereid Rab Ika, Shbud Shvachis Begumais was Rab Malkiyoy. Loidis Efer Makla Ugvina is Rab Malkiyoy. What are these six halachas? So Shbud is referring to a Gemara Mesechtis, a Ravinim Mesechtis Beya, where it talks about over there a spit. The spit was used for roasting. Now you're allowed to go and roast on Yantif. After all, it's a Melechas HaYichel Nefesh. No problem. Now what happens if after you took off the barbecue or the roast beef or whatever that was roasting on the spit is now full of schmaltz, full of grease. So it becomes mukta, you're not allowed to touch it anymore. What happens if it's in the middle of the floor, it's all greasy, I can't go and pick it up. What do? Says Rav Malkiyoy, you can push it to the side, kilachriyat, which means basically give it a kick, so it should be on the side, so nobody should trip on it, and nobody should get hurt. Rav Malkiyoy said that. Now, that shbud is not a Mishnah or a Braisa, that was a Memra said in the Gemara, that a spit is mukta, and he said, yes, give it a kick, kilachriyat. Shvachis is our case, which is on our Mishnah. Gumois is the Gemara Mesechus Nida, but the Gemara says that how do you know a girl is bas mitzvah? But she has shtei saris, and the Gemara says it's not enough just shtei saris, they have to be also two follicles, two holes into which those two saris, they're not just on top of the surface of the body like fuzz, but in fact they're rooted in the body. And Rav Malkiyoy says, even if you don't have the two hairs, as long as you have the two holes, it's really enough, because it means that there were hairs, and the hairs just fell out. So both the first and the third were memris, shmaitzes, and the middle case, shvachis, that was the case of a Mishnah. All those three were about kiyom. Then we have three more. Bloidus is referring to what we call today a chub, but usually in the times of Chazal, in fact, it was like a ponytail in the back, which was worn by certain Christian faiths, or perhaps even if they weren't Christian, maybe some other, maybe pagan.
Nivo wore one because he would be mishtadel with the Roman government.
Fine. So we're talking about that Goyim did this as a form of allegiance to their Avodah Zarah, and therefore if you have a Jewish barber, he should not go anywhere near the Bloris. How far should it be? So that the Mishnah in Masechtas Avodah Zarah says, stay away, and then Rav Malkiyoy says, you know how much? Up to three etzvois. You can go and cut until three etzvois. Now they give a guy a full haircut, and as you get closer and closer to that ponytail, stay away three etzvois. So that's halacha said on a Mishnah. Eifa Makla is, again, this is a Gemara Shmaitza, where the Gemara says that if a person has a wound, he should not go and pour in hot ash into the wound to act as a guess against infection. Why? Because after that it might leave a permanent mark and might be like a tattoo. So Rav Malkiyoy says, don't put the hot ash into the wound. This was a memra. Ugvina, that's a Mishnah. Mishnah Masechta Avodah Zarah once again. You're not allowed to eat gvinas akum, you're not allowed to eat cheese that was made by a goyim. And Rav Malkiyoy said, you know why? The Gemara gives a few reasons. Malkiyoy said the reason why is because they smear the top with schmaltz from a chazer, from a non-kosher animal. Okay, says the Gemara, the first three was a Malkiyoy. Last three was Rav Malkiyoy. Rav Papa Omar, Masnisa na Masnisa, Rav Malkiyoy. Shmaitza Rav Malkiyoy. Simonech Masnisa Malkiyoy. Rav Papa disagrees with this order of halachas of this Rav Malkiyoy and Rav Malkiyoy, because Rav Papa says, anything having to do with a Mishnah or a Braisa, that was Rav Malkiyoy said. Shmaitza, if it was a member of the Amiroid, no Mishnah, no Braisa, it was Rav Malkiyoy. And the simonic for you to remember the simon is Masnisa Malkisa, the Mishnah or the Braisa, that's like the Malka, that's like the queen, and a Malkia sounds like a queenly name because it ends with an Aleph, which sounds as if it has a hay, sounds like a queen. So therefore, Mishnah Braisa, that's the queen, that's her Malkia. Frankly, where my Benai, what's enough? Ikimanai Shvachis. Because our Shvachis, remember, that's on our Mishnah. So if it's on our Mishnah, that should be on the Rav Malkia list, not the Rav Malkio list. Therefore, the Gemara says, extract, take out the Shvachis from the Malkio list, because that's part of the Masnisa Malkazet. That's a Mishnah. It shouldn't be in the Rav Malkio list. Now, the question is, what about the Rav Malkio list? Because his list, the first and the third, with Taka Mishnah, is Blurus and Vina, but Eifa Maklum, he said that's a Shmaitz. So, what happens with that?
Right.
So Tosis says, Eina Harami, take out the Eifa Makla there, and when we said Shvachis, we mean the Shvachis and its corresponding middle halacha. It's the second of the three. Here, just like the Shvachis number two, there's Eifa Makla. Look at the Tosis here, Ikebenai Shvachis, Emirash Bam, Shvachis Vishekinegda, the Haina Eifa Makla, Shumemra, the Travayu Beinayu. It's the middle one, it's number two of the list of three. So, Machasvich. Shvachos and Eifa Makla. From Rashi's Mashma, that he disagrees with Tosis, and he's saying that all Rav Papa came to do was to disagree on the Rav Malkio list. And he said, no, Shvachos doesn't belong to Rav Malkio. Throw that to Rav Malkio. As far as the fact that Rav Malkio also spoke about Shmaitz, so, could be he talked about other things. But Rav Malkio didn't talk about halachas from a Mishnah or from a Braisa, he only talked about Shmaitz, and therefore take the Shvachos out and throw it to Rav Malkio. So from Rashi's Taka Mashma, the Rav Malkio is left with two, and Rav Malkio would have four. Anyway, Machlokes. Finally, the Rav Shmuel Gamliel said that as long as you do something, that's fine. Otherwise, you can go lidei shimu. Shimu means you can go crazy, you can come deranged. Faith Gemara, isn't that the same as Tanakama? Doesn't mean Mamish the Tanakama, means Rav Lezer that said it's maybe lidei zima. What's an afkina? Ekimenayu de metalla migraisa kudnaisa then nardishir or nadrishir. What does that mean? Metalla means that she plays with or she raises kudnaisa kudnaisa. That means small little dogs. Small little puppies. Where's Reuven when we need him? So that's Kuraisa means like a dog, and Kuraisa means clanchiga, such puppies. Oh, so she's busy with that, right? You see on the west side, thousands of people busy with their dogs, so the person doesn't go crazy because they have to buy clothes for the dogs, they have to feed the dogs, they have to wash up the dogs, they're busy the whole day. And Nardashir means chess. If you have a chess player who's constantly playing chess, okay, he's busy with he does something. Masha Enke, a person who does absolutely nothing, oi, then that person has to show the with the zim. So if you look at the last Rashi, right before the Mishnah, the metal of the Gurai, the Kinais, the Hardashir, the Sachek is the Klov and Dakin, who's Hoik Shikorin Ishkakish. The day zima ikka. Then you have to worry about that they have nothing meaningful to do, and they might come the day preaches. The day shimum lekav. You don't have to worry about becoming deranged and crazy. The shimum elabiyosh betoyu ubat legabi. The person who sits on his hands doesn't even own an iPhone, doesn't own a television, doesn't own anything. They're just going to go nuts. So therefore, if they do at least chess playing or they raise puppies, you have nothing to worry about.
How do you identify Nardashir with chess? What's the
best way of identifying is to look up the art scroll. How did he define the word Nardashir? Right before the Mishnah, the last word. Right before the Mishnah.
Nardashir is a who plays chess.
That's how you identify it.
As rendered by the Targum of Oz.
Rabbi Tukachinsky.
Oh, the Dayan.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Who lives in London, Habira. Okay, if you look at the Bach, he says something similar. The Bach, you see an Aleph before Nardashir.
Yeah.
The Bach says, Misachek is Biksonim. A Kesem typically means small pieces. So, smaller pieces, sometimes you might use the term Kesem to mean like a toothpick. It's a small piece that you put through the teeth. Here, Kesem means little pieces of a game. So, that the Rabbi Tukatinsky said that that is referring to chess. Okay, Zuka Mishnah. A person who makes a neder against his wife, and what's the neder? He doesn't want her tashmish on him. In other words, Rashi says he cannot go and assert his performing tashmish for her, because after all, exactly right. However, he can go and assert, or if he did assert Hanor from having her tashmish on him, the question is, is that effective? Says the Mishnah, yes, that is effective. Even though Tashmita, it's you have to have the two together. You can't do Yeah, okay. Anyway, but the point is, how long do you have to be concerned about such an isur? Which means that you can hold, the wife has to hold out with this neder up to 2 weeks, according to Beishame, according to Beisil, 1 week. If after 2 weeks or 1 week the person is not matir neder, then if the marriage is off, and he has to go and give her a ksuba, a get with a ksuba. See the first wide line of Rashi, Beishame Omer Shtei Shabbosois, Em Heidira Beishabbosois, Tamtin, she should wait it out. Then Yosef, it goes beyond 2 weeks, Yosef Zubsuba should go to bed and say, I can't live with a husband, give me my get and my ksuba. They still say you don't have to wait 2 weeks, 1 week is enough. Now from here to the end of the Mishnah, and the Mishnah tells us about the dinim of oina, how frequently does one have to go and live with one's wife. Let's get back to that in a moment. The Torah doesn't say beferish what those are. So the Chazal are telling us, Hatayolim b'chol yom. Tayolim means people that are unemployed, that live locally with their wives. They have up to an oina once a day. Hapayalim, people that do work, but they work locally, they don't go away to other communities. Shtayim b'shabbos, twice a week. Hachamorim, chamor means an ezel driver means a donkey driver. Okay. Achas b'shabbos, once a week. Hagamolim, those that would normally leave their wives for a while to go and take freight or people to other places, and they go and they're camel drivers. Achas shloshim yom. So then she expected it back in 30 days. As upon him, a person who's on a svina, means a sailor. Achas shishah chadashim, he might be away for 6 months. Divrei Rav Elazar, so Rav Elazar gave these rules. So now getting back to Talmidim. The Gemara says that normally that the Oynish of Talmidim Chaman is the Erev Shabbos, which would mean once a week on Friday night. However, our Mishnah tells us that if someone wants to go away and learn in Koil somewhere, and that Koil is not local, he has to go away, he has to travel, he doesn't even have to ask his wife. Up to 30 days he has the right to go, and he'll come back, and of course she'll share in the schar, and she'll have to put up with Oyna once each place behind. And the same thing on Payalim. Even though Payalim, we said, Ishtayim B'Shabbos, if this Poyal is very busy and he's going and working overtime, so he can do it Shabbos once a week, and the wife has to go and agree with that because he needs to bring in Parnassa for the family. So that's Bereshus. You don't need to ask permission, that's automatic. Getting back to Agmar. Zutimara, we started off that Hamadar Sishmitash Shemitah, Beishame says, hold out for 2 weeks. Beisil says, hold out for 1 week, and after that, give a get. Pregnant Mamaitan to Beishame, we have Vusaps, why 2 weeks? Gamami, let us in the Keva. We know that Halach is a woman that gives birth to the Keva. For 2 weeks, she has Tumas Leida, and she's prohibited to beat with her husband because anyway, she's bleeding. So she goes to the mikveh, minimum of 2 weeks. Okay, if he let us the cave, he can hold out 2 weeks. She can hold out 2 weeks. They still gamri me let us zocher. Torah says you let us zocher is only 1 week. But we'll see in a moment. They still doesn't really learn if you let us zocher. We'll see. But they still nami nigmru me let us in the cave. Why didn't he hold like Beishamai 2 weeks? So me let us gamri la hachanami. If Beisil would taka learn it from your lettuce, you're right. He would say 2 weeks, because we find by lettuce in the Keva, she's prohibited to be with her husband for 2 weeks. No, you have to hold out 2 weeks. He also hold out 2 weeks. Ela Beisil me neither gamila, he learns from the nida. Then we normally, remember Minat Torah, you only have a 1 week thing with a nida. Nowadays you have two, because of Reb Zeira, the Reb Zeira, they go and sit an extra week. However, we don't have to do this. In times of Chazal, in times of Beisham Beisil, they only had the Din Torah, therefore 1 week for Nita. So my kibbutz, what's the machlok between Beisham Beisil? One says, Mida Deshchiach. What's the Mida Deshchiach, says Rashi? That's the meet me to the shkir. But what's the first meet in the shkir? Says Rashi, Kas Shekoyis Alishtoi. That a person gets so angry at his wife that he makes such a nader against his wife. Unfortunately, there are a lot of hotheads in society, and that therefore, if he makes such a nader, he doesn't want to have Hanoah from his wife's Tashmish, that you learn me to the shkir from Nida, which is very shkir. It happens all the time. Umar Sava meeted the Hugarim La meeted the Hugarim La. That you look at what he causes from something that he causes. In other words, he's the one that's causing this rift between husband and wife. by making this neder, and we learn that meaning to garamla that he made her pregnant because she can't be pregnant on her own, and therefore that's why Bishami learns for the pregnancy and that from the yoledes the kechel. Omara machloek is his own machloek that a mishmi between the 2 weeks and the 1 week is the mefarish. If he says I aser your tashmish on me for 2 weeks or for 1 week. Al-Bistam, if he didn't make any deadline, he just simply says, I'm mader, I don't want having any hanoah from your tashmish, period. So you don't have to wait 2 weeks, you don't have to wait 1 day. She can go straight to bed and say, do you hear what my husband said? I want out. Give me a get. Shmuel Amar Afilu Bistam Nami Yamtin. No, you always have to wait. Shem Yimtza Pesach L'Nidra. The whole reason for the 2 weeks and 1 week is hopefully hotheads will cool off. And eventually he'll find the Pesach for the Neder, and the Chacham will find the Pesach for the Neder, and they'll be able to reunite, and you won't have to have a get after all. So Gemara, if that's the machloik is between Rav and Shmuel, the Rav says in the Farish, and Shmuel says in the Bistam, Habli Bechad Nizinu, we have the version of the same machloik is elsewhere. Did not. Hamad Rishishim the Honis Loi. Now Rashi says, this Lohanis Loi is not referring to Tashmish, it's referring to Moshul, to Mizoinis and other things. Then Ad Shloishim Yoin, Yamid Parnis, Yoiz Mikan, Yoiz Vendituk Suf. Since if he's Madras Isha, that she should not have any Anoah from him, and he has to supply Mizoinis, what he should do is Yamid Parnis, he should go and set up a Shalish, we talked about that yesterday in the Gemara, go and set up a Apotropis, and he's going to go and hand out the food on a regular basis. Yoiz Mikan, if it's more than that, Yoiz Vendituk Suba, then he has to go and give it to him. The Amara, lo yishanu el mafarish. Bistam, yoytzili al to be eating suva. If it's stam, he says, no more hanoah, means no more mizaynis. Don't tell me about a parnas for 30 days. Give her a get immediately. Shmuel Amar, filu bistam nami. Even if he says stam, no more mizaynis for you, no more hanoah for you. Yamtiv, shema yimtza pesach l'nidra. Wait for the 2 weeks or the 1 week. 1 week, because maybe we'll find a pesach. So you see the machlekes of Rav Shmuel is identical. Here by the tashmish and there by the mizaynis. So the word frich. If you're talking about an outkesh, exactly, Tash Shemitah, that you cannot delegate to somebody else, and therefore, that being the case, there is no other aid, sir. That's why Rav says, since there's no parnis, yoitzi miyad. I'm sorry. And then if it's mafarish, he says 2 weeks, 1 week, but if it's stam, then give it, get immediately, because there's no backup options. Ah, but he, in the case of the Mizoyim, says to the parents, saying, wait a little bit more. Let's wait a week or two. Hotheads will hopefully cool off, and sense will begin to prevail again, and they'll get reunited. The Imam Bahir would say, in that case, in the case of the Noites, because there you have the Eitzah with the Pines. Maybe in our case in Tashuv, you don't have that Eitzah, might the Rabbi will agree with the Rab. So you have the Machloikis in both cases, whether it's Mefarish or Stam. Have a wonderful day, Rabbi Yitzhak. Mitchum, continue tomorrow after this minyan. Roll to finish.
The woman died.